Dr. Juan. And now, is he a brother or a son? Okay. Well, we're glad to see you all. Before the pandemic hit, they came to our Wednesday night Bible study all the time. And it's so good to see you back again today. Yeah. And who's the gentleman sitting by you, Dr. Collins? Well, Doctor, we're glad to have you and your wife with us today as well. Good. And then on the next to the back seat back there, there's a family back there. I may know you if you didn't have the mask on. Oh, that's another doctor. Yeah, that's Dr. Long and his family. Yeah. Well, I shook hands with him. But I didn't pick up on the voice, and I couldn't see who it was. We're glad to have you all with us today also. All right. I want to invite your attention to a few verses of Scripture this morning. I think I'm going to read from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and maybe begin at verse 9, I guess. Now, this is not the first time I've thought about this, but I didn't really know where I wanted to begin reading. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoiceth in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the affliction of Christ, in the flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. I guess I'll read the rest of it. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the ministry which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, with the mistakes I may have made, I read from verse 9 the remaining verses of the first chapter of Colossians. And as always, I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I do desire an interest in your prayers this morning. I feel very much the need of the help of God. And this is a very important service today. And I want to just talk to you for a little bit about the ordinance of baptism. And I want to talk to you about the importance of church membership. And so you pray as I try to speak to you for a little while. You remember reading in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, where Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, when he said that he would build his church, he was not talking about a church building, but he was talking about a group of people, putting together a group of people who had been redeemed from their sins. They had been born again. They had been dead in trespasses and in sins, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, they had been made alive in Christ Jesus. And he was going to form a body of people to carry on the ministry of the gospel after he was gone. Now, Jesus didn't come into this world to stay. He was born of the Virgin, and he lived a very short life. And then he sacrificed that life. He made an atonement for sin. He gave his life as a substitute in our behalf. He took our place. We should have died the death that he died. Jesus was not a sinner. He did not deserve to die. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And we all will die because we're sinners. But Jesus was not a sinner. And he could not have died had he not been willing to do so. He was the very Son of God. And he came from heaven, and he came to this earth. And when he was on the cross, though they crucified him, they terribly mistreated him. he was bruised and he was afflicted and he suffered greatly, but they did not take his life from him. Because while he was hanging on the cross, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And so he voluntarily died the death that all of us should have died, so that we would not have to suffer the consequences of our sins. And Jesus did that, and he did that voluntarily. And he wants the gospel to be preached in all generations. He wants it preached in all ages. He wants it preached to all the world. You know, in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus gave the Great Commission. And in the Great Commission, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And then he said, "Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you." And he said, "Lo, I am with you unto the end of the world." So the end of the world hasn't come yet, you know. And so that commission is still in effect. And we're still preaching the everlasting gospel, which the Bible declares to be the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so we are still preaching the gospel, and people are still being saved. And we have the assurance from the Word of God that people will be saved until the end of time. When time shall be no more, then there will be no more people saved, you know. But until then, we keep preaching and people keep getting saved, and we're thankful to the good Lord for that. And then after people are saved, we are to baptize them. Now, we're to do this by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And then he gave the commission. And so I read in your hearing that Jesus, he is the head over all things to the church. I want to read these two verses once again. It's talking about Jesus. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. We read in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, where the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this verse of Scripture is certainly in harmony with the rest of the teaching of the Bible. All things were made by him, and by him all things consist. And verse 18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Now, Jesus is Lord. We read that in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Jesus is Lord. He has the preeminence over all things. And so he is the head of the body, that group of people that he organized into a church. John the Baptist was his forerunner. He came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And those who repented and gave evidence of having repented, he baptized. And Jesus took those very people and he began his church. And it has been in existence since that day. And it will continue to exist until Jesus descends from heaven. The resurrection takes place, and we all go back to heaven with Jesus. And so the church is here today, And the church is important. We have a very important work to do. We must keep preaching the gospel. We must continue to witness to people about being saved and tell them about our experience, about conviction, and how that God brought us to the point of where we could repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus and be saved. And so we have this very important work to do. So I'm going to talk to you now just for a minute. The church, you know, baptism is a church ordinance. That is, the Lord Jesus placed the ordinance of baptism within the church. And so the church, when people are saved, the church has the authority then to baptize them into this group of people that have been saved and that have been organized so that the gospel would go out into all the world. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ has the power given by the Lord and the authority, to preach the gospel. And it has the authority to receive members. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the gospel was preached, and there were 3,000 that were saved. And then they were added to the church. They were baptized into the fellowship of the church. And the Bible says that they were added. They were added to the church. The church was already in existence. And they were worshiping. And they were in the upper room in Jerusalem where Jesus had told them to go. And they were praying. And their prayer was, I believe, for the fulfillment of the promise that the Father had made. And that promise was, ye shall be endued with power from on high after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And they had a powerful revival at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was present. Those preachers had liberty to preach the Word of God. And people were pricked in their hearts. They became convicted of their sins. And they began to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? They had trouble. They were in trouble, not with other men, but they were in trouble with God. They were sinners. And they had been made aware of the fact they were sinners and they needed to be saved. And so Peter speaking said, repent. And that's the first thing every sinner has to do. You have to repent of your sins. And then he said, be baptized. That's the next step after you've repented. And I want to say repentance is unto life. If you really repent of your sins, God gives you the faith to trust in Jesus. And you receive everlasting life. Your sins are forgiven and they are forgotten. And they're put in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you anymore. And God gives you the gift of eternal life. They repented of their sins and then they were baptized. And when they were baptized, they were added to the church. That church had a great ingathering that day. In fact, it was at the feast of ingathering where this all took place. So we're thankful that God's still saving souls. And we're thankful for the church that He established that keeps on preaching the gospel. And we're thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit that makes the gospel effective. The Bible said, and Jesus said this himself just before he was arrested, maybe a week before he was arrested. He was talking to the disciples It's in the 16th chapter of the book of John, and I can't get that started, so I'll just turn and look at it. And it won't take me but just a moment to do so. But this is what it says. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," he said. "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." You know, the Comforter is another title for the Holy Spirit. And he said, "But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come." So the work of the Holy Spirit is to reprove men of sin. It is to bring conviction to their hearts and to their minds, to let them know you're a sinner and you need salvation. And if the Holy Spirit did not do that, we would just keep going on in our sins, you know. But God has a plan. That plan is for the gospel to be preached and the Holy Spirit to use that gospel to reprove men of sin. That will lead to repentance of sin. And repentance of sin will lead to conversion. It makes a new creature out of you. You know, Paul said in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, I believe. He said, "If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature." You're not the same old sinner that you was before you got saved. Because God has forgiven your sins, and he's given you eternal life. And you are a new creature. You are now a child of God. You know, before you're saved, you're not a child of God. You may be, you know, as we say, through creation, you know, God created the first man and the first woman. And then they brought children into this world, and they all had the nature of their daddy and mother. They were all sinners, you see. But they were not children of God except by creation. But I tell you, when you get saved, you're a child of God through regeneration. It is a new birth. It produces a new person. It produces a child of God. A child of God that is an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. And that's what salvation does for you. It makes a child of God out of an old sinner. I remember hearing, I've heard more than one group sing the song, but it's entitled, "I'm So Glad God Saves Old Sinners," you know. If he didn't save all sinners, every one of us would die and go to hell. And folks, that's the truth. And that's what the Bible teaches. That Holy Spirit, I'm so glad for that Holy Spirit that lets you know that you're lost and that you need to be saved. And the admonition of the Bible is, seek the Lord while he can be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return to the Lord. And what will happen? The Lord will have mercy upon him. And he will abundantly pardon. He'll forgive all sin. So I'm glad that God's plan is working. It's been working for hundreds of years, even thousands of years. It's been working. And it's still working today. And people are still being saved. And the church has the authority to baptize those who have been saved into the fellowship of that body of baptized believers. That's what they were, you know. Baptized believers. And so it's called a church. It's an assembly of baptized believers. And you know, the Bible said I think a lot of people have forgotten this. But in Hebrews chapter 10, forgotten the verse, but it said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. God intended, you know, for His church to assemble, to be together, you know, to have fellowship, and to support the work of the Lord, and, you know, to be a witness for Jesus, and to, we can be a light in this world. While Jesus was here, He said, I'm the light of the world. He that believeth in me shall not walk in darkness. But then when He went away, He said, you're the light of the world. Now, we don't have any light of our own, but His light shines through those who have been born again. And people can see. In fact, the Bible says, put your light on the candlestick. He says, no man, when he has lighted a candle, puts it under the bed or puts it under a bushel. But he said they put it on a candlestick so it'll give light to all that are in the room. And you know, when you get saved, that's what happens. The Lord lights a light in you. And that light shines out. And Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so, I'm glad today that we have this privilege to be together. Now, I could say a lot more. I've for the benefit of you all that don't know me, and this is not bragging. I'm not bragging. If I live till November the 23rd, I will have been preaching 63 years. 63 years. And you know, I'm still finding new stuff in this Bible. I've preached a lot of sermons, and every once in a while I find something I haven't preached on before. Something that's important. You know, this book is inexhaustible. You know, you just can't preach everything that's in it. And a lot of people wish I could remember that when I'm preaching, you know. But anyway, I'm glad for the church, and I'm glad the Lord's still saving. And we're going to baptize just in a few minutes. I want to give an opportunity for members. If anybody here today, you've been saved by God's grace, you've never been baptized into a scriptural church, and you'd like to do that today, you'd like to present yourself, we'll ask you to tell your Christian experience.